is the cause of offenses. What is the cause of our own offenses? What is the cause of Indra's offense? It's always the same. It's a pride. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that the pastime of Indra showing his revenge towards Krishna and the Brajvasis was born out of his pride. Pride of being the king of the universe. Now this pride resides in the open prison of the materialistic heart. Pride is something like a prisoner, but the prison doors of false ego are never closed for pride. Pride can always jump out. Pride lives in the false ego, always ready to jump out of the open windows and doors and strike us. How this is so, we will hear a little later. It is ultimately the false ego which gives birth to pride. The false identification is something which is not. The false identification with an illusion of ourselves. Now, if we look a little into the Sankhya philosophy, just a little, don't worry. We will see very quickly that it is the false ego which is the first, the very first covering of the soul when it comes into this material world. It is not possible to find a soul, or it is very rarely possible to find a soul without the covering of false ego. It's like the first thing we get as we enter into our material drama of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Now this false ego is a very ready, very much able, very ready to strike at any moment. The Vaishnavas have given one example. The false ego is as ready to take possession of a person's heart as flies are ready to sit on an open banana, on a banana which has been opened. Especially in India, we can see, if we would now place a banana here in Suravikund, immediately there would be flies and many ants, and no one of us, even an expert zoologist, would not be able to tell from where do all these flies come. It is amazing from where they come. So the Vaishnavas have said, the only way that the different aspects of pride, different flies of pride, there are many prides. There are at least 8 types of pride. For instance, pride of your learning, pride of your beauty, pride of your heritage, pride of, let me say, of being more humble than others. That's also mentioned, this type of pride. There are many, many flies of pride which are always ready to come on us at any given moment. However, it is said, when our heart is protected by the layers of humility, that's another layer, then pride cannot come. The example, we can return to the same example. If a banana is solidly covered, or nicely covered, or closely covered, that is the English word, closely covered by the banana peel, the ants will not come. At least not to my knowledge, maybe. Or the flies at least will not come. But the moment the covering of the banana peel has been removed, there will be flies coming. Even in Germany, I have seen these small fruit, they call them fruit flies, come. And you don't know from where they come. The room looks so cultured without flies, but all of a sudden the fruits are full with the flies. This is how pride comes. At any moment, in any situation, in any room, it can come. Unless and until the devotee has the covering of humility. It's very, very important to understand this analogy. The banana which is covered with a peel will not have troubles from flies or ants or fruit flies or whatever is there. In the same way, the heart, which is solidly enwrapped or engulfed in true felt humility, is not able to become a victim of pride. The first, if you want to enter into the school of humility, the first lesson which you have to take is, I'm not the body. As long as you identify with your material body and your material situation, you will live in false ego, and as long as you live in false ego, pride will come. This is the first classroom. And you have, I think you were, you are remembering Prabhupada's insistence on this point. At one point, Prabhupada wrote in the Bhagavad Gita that unless a devotee or a spiritualist understands he is not the body, he will not actually be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. And one of the reasons is that he will be forced to remain in false ego, where pride, the source of all aparadas, will come. There is a very nice meditation which often devotees perform who have a hankering to advance in Krishna consciousness. It is called the Buddha Sutta meditation. In this meditation, the devotee thinks, my dear Lord, and he calls the names of his deities, Radha Madhava, let us say you are a Radha Madhava deity, or my dear Radha Madan Mohan, that is, these are my deities. My dear Radha Madan Mohan, please, I once was happily serving you, but I have fallen into the material world. By some indescribable good fortune, I've met my spiritual master and the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now I can understand that I'm your eternal servant. Please engage me in your service. And then the Buddha Sutta prayers continues. There are three prayers. One is, the next is, Naham Vipro, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Sutra, I'm not a Kshatriya, nor a Vaishya, nor am I Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. I'm only a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. The last Buddha Sutta prayer is something which I'm almost afraid to talk about here, but here at Surabhi Kund, it goes like this. I am sitting as a beautiful servant at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who's there in his spiritual body. And I am awaiting his signs and orders to engage in my desired service. This is a very wonderful prayer which comes in the Buddha Sutta prayers, which the devotees in our movement pray, in our line pray. False ego can only be overcome by real identity. I would very much like to repeat this again. False ego can only be overcome by real identity. No one ever wins spiritually very much if his false ego gets blasted or analyzed or, and the can of worms is open. It may be useful to a certain extent because some honesty is required, but really the cure lies on the positive side, not on the negative side. Not by understanding what you are not can you advance. You can understand by what you are. And what you are is very quickly revealed to you if you engage in some project of a service, of devotional service. The moment you go into a service with which you can identify, where a sympathetic resonance appears in your heart, and you will first experience that most properly, like always, you try to do the service for your own. Like preaching, for instance. There's a lot of enjoyment in preaching, converting others, feeling the affection of others as a sign of gratitude. But the next step which will come when you sincerely preach is that you understand, well, this is not the right motive. I must, and also the people who loved me once will bring you to God the next day. This is not what you aim for, what you could aim for. What you must aim for is, when you preach, I want to help these people. The moment you, in other words, do your service with a selfless vision and a selfless mission, that moment your real identity will grow forward. A service which is performed with a selfish intention is mixed with the three modes of material nature. A service which is done with a selfless concept is pure and will give rise to your real identity. For instance, if I play Madanga because I like the groove, that is a selfish intent. But if I go around Govardhan and play even though it's hot and the melody is not good and the kartals are out of rhythm, and I play just for the pleasure of Giriraj, I do service which is selfless. And from such a service I can make advancement. From the other service, I remain bound in the gunas. Or if I cook that I want to give pleasure to Krishna or the Vaishnavas, then I will make advancement. I remember we once had a cook. I do not want to reveal his name, but this cook cooked really, and after the offering, he was seen with his friends, with all the offering, devouring it with good music in the background in one room of the temple. And I was very envious of the cook, and that was my problem, because all the good things were always gone when we simple persons stood in the waiting queue for prasadam. But this is not a good example. My dear devotees, watch out in your service for that moment where you cannot enjoy your service any longer. At that moment, think, now is a good chance for me to make advancement, because I will continue to do my service now for the pleasure of Krishna or because I want to help others. As long as you do service in the selfish department, there will no your false ego will not disintegrate. But when you enter the service and come in the selfless department, then you will very quickly have an understanding of your identity. I would like to give you an example of Braj Bihari Prabhu. I was once I will not look his way because he will look at me angrily and stop the thought of flow. I was once with together with Radhanath Maharaj in the project New Vrindavan, it's called, as you all know, it's in America. And it was either there or it was at a marriage in Washington, where also was the Radhanath Maharaj. So many things happened in America, and for a provincial boy, it was very amazing at times. Yes, and then, either the marriage or in New Vrindavan, I think it was at both occasions. And then there was a light mood, was required. There was just, I think it was, I don't remember, New Vrindavan, it was, there was this heavy theater play, Burnt Ladu, which made you cry, really. Heavy entertainment. And then either before or afterwards, a light mood was required. And then this other devotee, he's also very, very wonderful. Kala, is his name Kala something? Kala?
Kala Kanta
Prabhu.
Who?
Kala Kanta Prabhu. And Braj Bihari, they had dressed in Western style with some cowboy hood, and they made songs which were, first of all, little sarcastic. I want to go to Alachua. There is no GBC in Alachua. something light-hearted and so on. And little foolish but intelligent mixture. Sarcastic. This is called sarcastic. Yes. Ironic. And I remember Radhanath Maharaj was sitting like you always see him with his impressive nose, sitting like this, relishing it, and had a tear of joy in his eye, like this, you know. And then I asked him, Maharaj, you very much appreciated this? I didn't feel so, because I didn't know all the why it was so funny, because I'm not from America. And then he would just look at me and he said, I just love that Braj Bihari. This man just wants to serve. Because a light-hearted moment was required. Raj Bihari is usually quite serious, at least that's what I know him, how I know him. And he just did this in order to serve the devotees. So, my dear devotees, please understand again, use your brain for a moment. Aparadas come out of what? Pride. What is the root of pride? False ego. How do we overcome false ego? By real ego. What is our real ego? I am a servant. How should we do service? We should do service for the pleasure of Krishna or the devotees. And the moment you enter into this realm, you will become humble and selfless and advanced in Krishna consciousness. You will actually become advanced in Krishna consciousness. And you will feel the spiritual world opening to you, opening to your eyes. You will be free from the thorns of aparada. Imagine when a thorn, a hefty thorn, who has ever suffered of a thorn? I mean suffered. Everyone. Oh, now
everyone but Nittai.
No thorn?
No external thought. A lot of thorns here.
No external thought. Okay. So I seem to speak your language. This is very important for a preacher. Prabhus, when we suffer so much from a thorn in the foot, you know. I once had a thorn. I even needed to go to the Bhaktivedanta hospital to get it removed because Jagatarini was not within telephone reach. it was heavy. There were five doctors around me to remove that thorn because I was always so much inconvenienced by it. Now imagine a thorn which is in the heart. When a thorn in the foot can give you so much trouble, or the hand, or whatever. So this, but because we are so unaccustomed to spiritual life, we don't recognize that our heart is pierced by the thorns of aparada. In our shastras, aparadas are taken to be thorns. So please, 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 address this point. Don't think it's an old-fashioned point established by some religious writers to instill fear in your heart. No, aparadas is something which is very bad, and it is very real, and it's very, very difficult to avoid aparadas, because as long as we have false ego, it will come. So, one tip is to be dressed, to have the dressing of humility, so that the flies of false pride cannot land on us and devour our Krishna's conscious life. And the other advice is engage in selfless devotional service. And look out, it will come when you go to Dwaraka, that possibility to render selfish devotional service or selfless devotional service. Only from selfless devotional service your real identity will spring forth. Thank you very, very much. I have given this lecture only to one person. He is called Sachinandan Swami. You know, that which concerns you most is the subject which you like to speak the most about, so I chose this subject. Thank you very much. We will now listen very carefully to Burijan Prabhu addressing us on a spiritual subject matter, which he will reveal to you soon. Let us lovingly say, Sisi Goni Thai Ki Jai Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.